We all want to build a better business so we can be better architects. Well, a better business starts with planning your profit. Download our free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/freecourse. Entree Architect Podcast, episode 140. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. So, if you've been listening to this podcast, reading the blog, or maybe a member of Entree Architect Academy throughout the past few months, you've most certainly heard that storytelling is a critical part of your success in business. We need to know our story and how to tell that story to our target market. It's how we find the work we want and the clients we love. So we know storytelling is important. But how do we craft that story? To whom do we tell it? And how, really, does our story help us find more work on a consistent basis? Well, hang out with me for this episode. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, I invited my friend Jeff Eccles of Echo Engagement to join us and discuss how to use your story to find the work you want. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by TrueStyle, the leader in high-end architectural interior doors. Learn more at TrueStyle.com. And Tanglewood Conservatories, combining the romanticism of the 19th century glass architecture with state-of-the-art technology of today. Learn more at TanglewoodConservatories.com. Jeff Eccles, welcome to the Entree Architect Podcast.
It's great to be here, Mark. Thanks.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Finally, we've done coffees. I actually brought my coffee today, just so you know, we have a
nice
make it feel authentic here.
It's a prerequisite.
We'll get into that a little bit. And you're part of my team over at Entree Architect, and you're a storyteller, and you do all kinds of things, and you're an architect. And I think it's about time you're here at the Entree Architect Podcast. It's a long time coming.
Well, I've been hiding in the shadows for a long time, and so you're finally pulling me out. So here we are.
I think a lot of people probably will recognize your name because you often post for Entree Architect through social media. So people will recognize the Jeff Eccles name, if not from many other places, but there as well. So let's get into this. Let's start where we always start. Your history, your origin story as an architect. Where did you learn about architecture, and what inspired you to become an architect? And then give us that journey to find where you are today.
Yeah. Well, I guess to go way back, my dad was transferred to Chicago when I was a kid. And so I ended up growing up not far from a lot of the Frank Lloyd Wright homes, you know, Unity Temple. Later as an adult, I ended up walking past Unity Temple every day, but that was sort of a, changing, a traumatic point, you know, moving from Atlanta to Chicago as a young kid, and, sort of culture shock in a very real way, but ending up in the land of Frank Lloyd Wright, and then watching this old house with my dad every Saturday morning, you know, when it was on once a week on PBS.
Yep.
That those were probably the formative years that eventually led to going to Ball State, the College of Architecture and Planning there, and graduating with a couple of degrees in architecture from Ball State, and getting into the profession, working first in Chicago and then moving to Indianapolis and working for firms big and small over the years, from three people to what was at the time, I think we were the fifth largest firm in the world at one time, one of the firms that I was working for. So kind of the full spectrum in terms of firm size. And you know, eventually forming a couple of firms, leading some firms, but always playing some sort of marketing role everywhere I was for 20. I actually did the math this morning, about 24 years working in firms before eventually going out on my own into a not really an architecture practice anymore.
Yeah. So talk about that. Talk about what you're doing now and your transition from architecture to what you're doing now. I think that's interesting. I don't know the whole story, so I'm interested to hear it.
Yeah. Well, so 6 or 7 years ago, maybe, like I said, I had been playing marketing roles and business development roles. You know, if you look at my titles, you know, some of them were marketing, director of marketing, you know, business development head, you know, those type things. But for some reason, I had this thought in my head that architects had the inherent skills and training to be great marketers. But as most of us know, by and large, architects are terrible marketers.
Right.
You know, you look around and you meet architects and you look at some of the larger firms, and many of those people doing marketing and business development are not architects. You talk to many architects and it becomes painfully evident very quickly that they don't know anything about marketing. And so to me, that was a little bit puzzling. And so what that eventually turned into was a site that I launched called architectoftheinternet.com. And, you know, some of your audience will recognize that name. I still write and post there occasionally, but it was really my exploration into why many architects are not great marketers and how they can be. And with a particular focus on digital and social media, but marketing in general. So architectoftheinternet.com was really the start. Very shortly after that, I was tapped by someone that was running, had been involved with the AIA, American Institute of Architects. It was a classmate. You know, since we were classmates in school, they had been involved and at growing levels, you know, rising levels, and they were getting ready to run for national office. So they asked me to work with them and run their campaign. So I started working on messaging and speech writing and running a few campaigns for them. And we were very successful until the very last campaign, which was a campaign for president. We lost that one in a runoff, as is always the case at the AIA. But so got big exposure into messaging within the industry at a national level, at the top level. So that was, you know, just kind of further exploration. And then about 2010, I was working for a firm that I helped found. We were splitting off from another firm and starting from scratch and a whole bunch of non-compete clauses, you know, as firm splits, partner splits go. And so that was really the testing ground. It's how do we go from zero to success in a really it was end of 2009, beginning of 2010. So the economy was, you know, it wasn't 2007, it wasn't 2008, but it was still really tough economy. So how do we go from zero to some sort of a success very quickly? Because, you know, none of us were working off of the $1 million+ our father left us or anything like that. So we had to ramp this up very quickly, and published a case study relatively recently called Zero to 10 Million in 4 years or something. I forget the title now, but it was really outlining how we went from that zero in non-competes to $10 million in construction in just under 4 years.
We'll link that up on the show notes. So anybody who wants to read that, they can go to entrearchitect.com/episode140 and you have a link there for it.
Great. So that, like I said, that was really the testing ground. You know, it's okay. You know, I've been doing this. I've been talking about this. I've been designing this, the messaging, the branding, the storytelling. You know, now it's really got to work. You know, life depends, you know, economic life and life of this firm depends on this working. And so we were successful there. And then by 2014, there were some shifts in the firm and for very good reasons. You know, a division that I was running was eliminated to bolster another division. It was a very strategic move that made sense business wise. That left me with a decision, and that's when I went out on my own and started Echo Engagement, which you you mentioned earlier. And so now I work full time as a marketing consultant. I call it a storytelling agency, where I help people craft and tell their stories.
So talk about that a little bit. Talk about Echo Engagement and what you do and who you do it for.
So what I do, I couch everything under the term storytelling. It's marketing, yes. It's branding, yes. But to me, the most important aspect of all of that is that you have a compelling story to tell, and everybody does. It's just, you know, are you crafting it, and are you telling it in a way that's compelling? And one thing that I say is that, especially in professional services, especially in fields like architecture, where we depend heavily on repeat clients and referrals, you've got to be crafting and telling a story that resonates so powerfully with your ideal client that they feel compelled to share it with someone else. And that's really the key. That's the key to business development. That's the key to marketing in professional services. So at Echo Engagement, that's what we do. We help people craft and tell those stories, and then distribute them, which, you know, we can get into things like that later. But the majority of my clients are architects. I also have a handful of not-for-profits and some startups. I'll do some business coaching and then marketing for startups. But really what I'm looking for in clients is firms, people. I do personal branding as well. Firms, individuals, organizations, whatever, that have a really interesting, a really compelling story to tell. And most of the time when they come to me because they don't know how to craft that story. They don't know how to tell that story effectively. And so that's what we work on, you know, from strategy through execution.
Let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to marketing mm-hmm. in general. I think a lot of architects are poor marketers because they don't understand what marketing really is. Could you define what marketing is, and then how brands and how storytelling and how all these other components fit into the overall idea of marketing? And where does marketing start and where does it end?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There are a lot of people that start to lump business development and marketing and sales all together. And there are distinct differences, and you know, you can Google those kind of things, but typically business development is relationships, it's building relationships. That's if you talk to a business development person at Gensler or, you know, to name your firm, they're going to talk about building relationships. It's a long-term process.
So they're networking and right. Hanging out with people, meeting people, introducing them to other people, making connections, building relationships.
Exactly.
That's biz dev, as they call it.
Exactly. That's biz dev. And so, you know, to crack the door a little bit, what story are they telling? You know, are they telling an effective story? So you can see how storytelling kind of peeks into there. Sales is really the ask and the closing of the deal. You know,
right. So that's at the other end. Right.
That's at the other end.
It starts with business development, yep. And then it ends with sales. Well, it doesn't end with sales, but the process.
Right, the process. Exactly. We've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. And sales is, you've gotten to that point, you ask for the business, and you close the deal. And then the stuff in between is the marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, branding, you know, what's your brand? And then what story are you telling? How are you promoting your brand? How are you getting that story out there? It's how are you promoting everything that you're doing? And, you know, a lot of times when I talk about storytelling, I'll talk about different storytelling channels that fall within marketing, and we can get into what storytelling is. But I talk about three distinct channels. There's an interior channel, an exterior channel, and then a customer service channel. And so with each one of those channels, there's a different objective. You know, there's exterior, you know, it's marketing. Interior is within the bubble of your firm, we'll call it. And then customer service, of course, is client relationship kind of issues.
And your story weaves all among those.
Your story weaves among those. You've got different audiences and different aspects to that, but your story goes through there all the way from business development to sales. And the marketing piece of it is really the bulk of it. It's how are we crafting that story and then getting it out there and promoting it. And so I'll work with business development teams to help them craft the story that they're telling, you know, as they go out on those networking events or the golf outing, or, you know, when they sit down with the president of a university or whatever. And then I'll work with sales teams, architectural product reps are an easy example there. You know, they walk through your door wanting to sell their wares, so to speak, wanting you to specify their roofing material or whatever it is. I work with those teams to help them craft the stories that they're telling when they walk through the door. And then I work with firms to help them on the branding, the brand storytelling, getting that story crafted, and then the strategy, you know, how do we craft it, and then how do we tell it? How do we get it out there? Whether that's in a magazine or it's on Facebook or it's a podcast or, you know, whatever medium that is.
So when you say you're crafting a story, mm-hmm. are you literally sitting down and writing a story about the business?
Not necessarily, but yes. I mean, where we start is at the strategy level. So, the way I break it down into two pieces, I break it down into the crafting and the telling. Mm-hmm. So the crafting piece, yes, absolutely. We're going to produce a document. This is the story arc of this firm. This is the story arc of this organization. And just like you start every one of your podcasts, we start with the origin story, and we work through, you know, through the whole plot. And if you're, you know, there's a story structure that's thrown out a lot called the hero's journey that everyone listening is familiar with it, whether you're familiar with that term or not. You've seen Star Wars, you've seen The Matrix, you've read Harry Potter, whatever. It's a structure that many, 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 many stories are based on, going all the way back to mythology. And in, you know, in modern Hollywood, the close of the story is usually the setup for the sequel, right? And we go through that entire story arc. And this is the story arc for your firm, for your business. Then everything that happens, whether it's business development, marketing, or sales, whether it's a Facebook post, a podcast, a blog, whatever it is, every other story that we tell fits under that story arc.
So it's all referencing that document, that original story arc that was created.
It is.
Interesting. And so how do you do that? How you sit down with your team? And if somebody, like, say a small firm is listening here and they want to create their document, they want to create their story, what should they do? What's the first step?
Well, the first question I ask every single one of my clients is, why do you do what you do? And, you know, the thing that usually triggers in most people's head is the Simon Sinek TED Talk. Simon Sinek is a brilliant guy that wrote a book called Start With Why. He's got a TED Talk where he explains the why, you know, why do you do what you do? What is your purpose? What's your mission? And what I tell my clients is you've got to understand what your why is. Why is it that you do what you do? And so if I'm on stage at an AIA event and I start talking about why, and I ask someone, well, what's your why? Well, our why is we design schools for elementary children. No, that's not your why. That's what you do. And so it can be a tough question. It can be a painful question for somebody, but we've got to dig down to that as a basis, is what's your why. Because what we're looking for then eventually, you know, if we fast forward, I want to know who your ideal client is. And if we can determine who your ideal client is, I want to know what their why is. And then we're looking for the intersection between your why and their why, because that's where things start to resonate. If we can get everybody on the same wavelength, you know, on that same why, then we've really got something going there. But that's what we start with. We start with a why. We start with a backstory, and then we start identifying. You know, if you do design schools for elementary kids, who's your ideal client? And I want to know literally who is a real live human being. There are companies out there, HubSpot, Marketo, others that talk about buyer personas, that talk about, you know, they define it in a different way. It's usually a demographic. It's a, you know, we're looking for marketing managers in the Pacific Northwest, you know, for companies between 15 and 20 employees. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a real live human being. You know, Mark is my ideal client. Because if I can identify Mark as my ideal client, then I can start to think about Mark as my audience, a real life human being, and then how I would specifically talk directly to Mark, how I would craft a story that resonates specifically with Mark. Because remember, what I want to do is craft a story that's going to resonate so powerfully with Mark that he's going to share it with someone else like him, that's probably another would fall into the category of ideal client. So we work through, you know, strategy wise, we work through the why, the ideal clients, the markets, you know, all those sort of normal marketing strategy pieces. And then we wrap it all up into the story of the firm, the story arc that's going to guide all the activities, all the brand, all the story crafting, storytelling for that particular client.
So once that story arc is created, it's not necessarily something just, okay, we have the story arc created, like we post it on our website, and this is the story we tell over here. And it's right. I mean, it's, if you have the full story arc, we're just referencing that story and saying, you know, and sort of telling sub stories in different
yes.
places and these different channels that you're talking about. It's yeah. you're not just yeah. regurgitating that big long story to everybody you meet in every channel. You're referencing that document to create other stories based on the big story, right? So
yeah.
explain how that works and how yeah. you would yeah. use that big document.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Everything, like I said earlier, everything has to reference back to that. Everything, a lot of times I'll say everything has to fit under that story umbrella. That's the litmus test. If I'm going out to a networking event and I've got this elevator pitch in my head, if the litmus test is if it doesn't fit under that story umbrella, that's the wrong story. But yes, we've got different channels. We have different objectives. Are we trying to find new clients? Are we trying to recruit the best employees from the local university? You know, what is it that we're trying to achieve? And so when we're crafting these different stories, no matter what it is, and, you know, back to your question about is it a written document, you know, your storytelling, the telling piece of that can happen through any media. It could be photographs on Instagram or a podcast or videos on YouTube or whatever it is. But whatever we're creating and for whatever purpose, and that's got to be part of the strategy too, there's got to be a purpose to every single one of these stories. You know, this isn't a hobby. We're just not randomly telling stories as we go. We have a purpose in mind, which, you know, usually references back to a marketing funnel. But whether we are, you know, if we're trying to recruit the best graduates from the local university, then we're going to be telling a story that is intended to resonate with these 20-somethings as they come out of school. So this is our why. This is our firm's why. This is why we do what we do, and who we do it for, and all those things. And so we're now creating a story focused on those recent graduates and hoping that we're going to find the people that our why resonates with these graduates, because that's what you want. You want people that want to work at your firm. You're not just looking for the best Revit person or the best watercolor artist or, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for an employee. You're not looking for necessarily the absolute best one. You're looking for the best one plus the one that wants to work for you, plus the one that has heard your story and it's resonated with them. And that's the key to all these things, whether we're talking to a prospective client or a prospective employee. You know, if you have investors, prospective investors, you're looking for people that identify with your why, because there's going to be that connection, that strong connection that's not going to dissolve the first time there's a hiccup, the first time there's a cost overrun, the first time, you know, there's some sort of blow up in the office, like you ran out of coffee or, you know, whatever the important things are. You're looking for people who, like I, you know, earlier I said that you're on the same wavelength, but you're looking for that deep connection, that emotional connection that can be made with whoever your audience is and for whatever purpose. And all those sub stories, the purpose of those sub stories is to make those connections.
Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to two new platform sponsors at Entree Architect: True Style Doors and Tanglewood Conservatories. As platform sponsors, these companies have provided funding and support for our overall mission to become an influential force in this profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms to build better businesses in order to be better architects. True Style is passionate about providing us small firm architects with the inspiration and tools to transform our designs with the most distinctive, authentic, and special doors available. With more than 400 made-to-order styles, True Style offers premium MDF doors for painted applications and 20 standard species of wood across all architectural categories, from traditional to contemporary and everything in between. Every True Style door is made to order. True Style, driven by design. Visit truestyle.com and start designing your doors today. That's True Style, TRUSTILE.com. Tanglewood Conservatories custom designs and builds authentic residential and commercial conservatories, combining the romanticism of 19th century glass architecture with state-of-the-art technology and master craftsmanship. Whether your designs call for a pool enclosure, a gazebo, a greenhouse, or a unique light-filled living space, Tanglewood Conservatories will help you create a custom masterpiece for your clients. Tanglewood Conservatories, anything else is just another room. For more information, visit tanglewoodconservatories.com. And so, of those three channels, you have external, internal, and customer service. So external is marketing and branding and that type of, you're trying to attract customers and clients to your firm. Internal is building the culture within your firm, and the customer service is clients that you have and you're serving those clients. And so you're using this overall story arc to serve each one of those channels. So let's say, you know, our friends who are listening here, let's say that they're small firms and that they're, let's pick a market that they're serving residential clients doing large additions and alterations. Now they have this story, they've created this story arc. What do they do with it now to get more work consistently coming through the door?
To get more work, and no matter what market you're looking at, it's important to understand, just like in Hollywood, just like someone that writes a book, no matter who the storyteller is, there's always a specific audience. And so if your audience is the large commercial large residential addition or renovation market, there's a very specific audience there. And I mentioned the ideal client. You need to determine who that ideal client is, that person that you do the best work for, the person that you like working for the most, the person that respects you the most.
The one that pays you.
The one that pays you. Yes, yeah. that's definitely part of it. The one that you're most profitable working for. Yeah. You know, you say this a lot in your Entree Architect Academy and in your other collateral. This is a business. And when we're talking about ideal client, we're not talking about who your best buddy is. When we're talking about ideal client, yes, that making money, that profitability, getting paid, that's got to be part of it. You got to be very particular about who your clients are. But when we've defined that ideal client, we have got to craft the stories and tell the stories that resonate with them. I've said that several times now, but so start thinking about them. And again, if it's Mark, if Mark wants to do a big addition on his house or a big remodel, renovation of his home, what are the questions that Mark has? You've got to understand as an architect that when you tell these stories, you can't be to go to the hero's journey example again. You can't be the hero of your own story.
So develop that. Explain what that means.
Okay. So in the hero's journey, and just picture it as Star Wars or anything else, there's always a hero of the story. And, you know, a Star Wars, maybe it's Luke Skywalker. Well, Luke Skywalker is the hero of the story, definitely. But he and the things that make the story are the plot twists, the struggles, the of course, the goal. In the end, he's trying to accomplish something, but he struggles and has different obstacles in his way of achieving that goal. And there's always a mentor character, right? Whether it's Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi, there's always a mentor character. And so if you think about architecture in terms of the hero's journey and in terms of Star Wars, if you have a homeowner, that's what I should say. If you have a homeowner that wants to put a big addition on their house, well, okay, that's their goal. They're the hero. Remember that. They're the hero, not the architect.
So the prospect or the client is the hero.
The prospect.
Not the architect.
Exactly. Their goal is to have a beautiful new kitchen or master suite or all of the above, you know, whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. It's not easy, right? They've got to figure out how to hire a contractor. They've got to figure out how much this costs. You know, what's my budget? You know, where do I find an architect? What do codes look like and zoning and things like that? So those are their obstacles, you know, just like Luke Skywalker has. There are things that are in their way of achieving their goal. And that's where 9 times out of 10, that's where the architect can come in as the mentor character in that story. And so if you think about that, you think about those struggles, those things that stand in their way, those questions that they have. Those are the stories. That's where you can start crafting those stories. You know, you're trying to find someone to build this new master suite. Well, is that really the place to start? Or are there other things that you have to understand? If you're trying to figure out what your budget is, you know, here's how you can do that. And what I work with clients on is, or one of the processes we use is say, okay, well, here's an ideal client. Here's the market. What is that ideal client's top 10 questions? They're the first thing in the morning questions or the things that keep them up at night, whatever their top 10 questions are related to the topic. So if it's the master suite, you know, maybe it's how do I find a builder? How do I find an architect? What's my budget need to be? Can I do this because of setbacks or whatever reason? You know, what are their top 10 questions? And then we can start crafting stories that answer those questions, always making that client the hero of the story because they're on their journey towards a goal. We understand that they have struggles along the way, and this is how we can mentor them towards that goal. We can mentor them through those struggles, over those rough spots. And that's how we set up the client as hero and architect as mentor relationship in the storytelling.
So a client wants this big master suite, and they're scared out of their mind because they don't know how to get this accomplished. And so your stories are coming from the big story arc, being referenced from that, and you're basically creating stories and verbally as well as, you know, social media, and when you're meeting with them, you're talking with them, all of this is being referenced back, and you're creating these stories on how this client can achieve their goal with the help of working with you. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, it's all about helping them achieve their goals. When someone is looking for an architect, I use the example sometimes of a community center. I did some marketing pieces for someone that just won an award for a community center. And long story short, when I delivered the draft, you know, they weren't, this architect, you know, managing partner wasn't happy with the story. And really what, even though he had told me that what they were looking for was marketing collateral that would help them find more community centered clients. That was the purpose of the storytelling. That was their goal. When I delivered it to him, what he really wanted, what he was really expecting, was a celebration of these awards that they had just won for this new community center. And what I told him was, listen, you know, if you're trying to find more community center clients, you know, think about the first things they think about when they wake up in the morning. One of those, you know, back to those top 10 questions, one of those questions is not guaranteed, is not, how do I find an award-winning architect?
Right.
Those are not the questions they have. You know, it's how do I give these kids a safe place to play basketball after school, or you know, whatever the focus of their not-for-profit, or, you know, whoever that client is. And it's the same, you know, if you've got a residential client, there will be some that are looking for a signature piece, no doubt. But the majority of people, that is not where they start. They want to know, can they afford it? They want to know, what does it take? You know, having been in that residential world before, one of the consternations of architects is, well, they always want to start with the builder. They always want to find this builder instead of starting with the architect. Well, you know, how do you explain to them? How do you help them understand in their terms that they'll understand, you know, from their point of view, why it's better to start with an architect, or what the value of starting with an architect before the builder, or in concert with the builder, or what, you know, whatever that relationship needs to look like. Always think in their terms, always use their language, and always speak to them where they are. And, you know, and whether that takes the form of a blog or a podcast or Facebook or whatever is, you know, that's, it's not irrelevant, but that's somewhere down the road. You know, it's, you know, they're the hero, use their language, use their voice, you know, speak to them in terms that they understand, drop the jargon. That's one of the biggest problems with every, not just architects, but everybody that's in professional services, attorneys, accountants, everything else. You are a professional. That's why they come to you. But you've got to be a professional translator. You've got to translate your jargon, the terms that you learned in school. They didn't go to architecture school. You've got to translate all those words, all those terms into their language and help them understand on their level, in their language, on their terms.
So when it's all said and done, it's about resonation, right? If you're looking for this to resonate with your client. I don't know if it's resonation the right word. I don't know.
Resonate.
Well, you're looking to resonate with the person who's looking to hire you, with everything you do. So you create this story arc, and then everything else is referenced to that, with the goal, your ultimate goal is to resonate with that end user, that person who wants to hire you, because that resonation, if that's a word, is them learning to know you and liking you and trusting you. Those, the things you're saying resonate with them, that reflects what they feel. It's their values. It's what they want. And when they find that, they will hire you. And so if you know your market very specifically, and you know that ideal client, and you know what they want and how they think and what they eat for breakfast and how they make their decisions and what they drive. If you know that person so intimately that you know what they think and what they want, then you can craft your story to resonate with their story. And when that, like what Jeff said, once that happens, they want to hire you. And so if you're looking for more work, more consistent work, you need to define that ideal client and then figure out how to resonate with that client. And those clients will come to you and start looking for you to do their work. So that's a great strategy. So start writing your story, right? That's the bottom line, is start writing your story, crafting your story, and then tell it in the right channels to the right people, and you'll find some Resonation. I'm going to look that word up and see if that's real. If it's not real, put it in the show notes and tell me what the right word is. I'm going to look it up as soon as we're done here. That's some really good stuff there, Jeff. I appreciate you coming here today and talking about this.
Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to kind of step out of the shadows and tell the story.
Yeah, I appreciate all you do because you're doing a lot for me at Entree Architect. You're helping us with branding. You're one of our facilitators in the small groups in the academy. So you're helping us build this thing that we call Entree Architect. So I wanted to just publicly acknowledge your help with that and thank you very much for all the work you do for us.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And, you know, for all those listeners out there that may not be members of the Academy, you know, I talked about my exploration of why architects weren't great marketers. If we think about the Academy being much larger than that, there's every aspect of business that we all know that especially small firm architects struggle with. Those are the things that are covered in the Academy, not just marketing, but it's a very similar exploration to where I started exploring the marketing piece. So if you're not a member of the Academy and you're struggling with those things, you might consider it because there's help out there. We can all get better in all of these aspects.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there to help. That's what it's for. You know, we're going to build this profession from the bottom up.
There you go.
Yeah. So Jeff, thanks for sharing your knowledge here today on Entree Architect Podcast.
Absolutely, Mark. My pleasure.
Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode140. I love this episode. I can talk about storytelling all day long. I love the idea of putting together a story and being able to tell it to different people in different places and having something to reference like that. It's such an interesting topic for me. And I think it's so useful for architects to do that. You know, to connect with Jeff and to learn more about his work at Echo Engagement, visit echoengage.com. We didn't talk about that during the episode, so I wanted to make sure that you have that information. It's Jeff's got a lot of really valuable information. He writes a blog. You want to check that out. So echoengage.com. My name is Mark Arlepage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening. See you next week.